Welcome to Torah Tzimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Sefer Daniel, Perek Chet. With this perek, we return to the Hebrew language. Perhaps we can understand the change in language through the intended audience of the different sections. The Hebrew beginning of the Sefer was clearly meant as a message to Israel and to inspire them to keep the mitzvot in exile, as Daniel and his friends were able to continue to keep kosher even under Nebuchadnezzar in the palace. The middle of the book deals with messages intended for the non-Jewish rulers Daniel served. Now we return to visions meant to inform Bnei Israel about the continued exile and hope for the future redemption. Pasuk Aleph informs us that this perek takes place 2 years after the vision in Perek Zayin and seems to be connected to that dream, as we see in the language he uses. In the third year of Belshazzar's kingdom, a vision appeared to me, I, Daniel, after what had happened to me in the beginning. It is important to understand that this occurs at the end of the Babylonian reign, right before Belshazzar was defeated by Dariavish the Mede in an almost bloodless coup, as recounted in Perek He, with the vision of the writing on the wall. The Gemara in Megillah 11b tells us that Belshazzar only reigned for 2 years, so this vision took place at the very end, before the Medes took over. This vision differs from the others both in setting and in content. It takes place in Shushan, by the river Ulai, and showcases just two seemingly tame animals compared to the four wild beasts we read about before. Ibn Ezra explains the significance of Shushan is to show the imminence of Persian ruler. The vision opens in Pasuk Gimel with a ram. And I lifted my eyes, and I saw, and behold, a ram was standing before the river, and it had horns, and the horns were high, and one was higher than the other, and the higher one sprouted last. Rashi explains that the ram represents both Persia and Mede. Persia, which came after Mede, sprouts last, but eventually surpasses Mede, as proven by the Persian kingdom completely overshadowing Mede. Malbim names the Medean horn, as Dariavish, and the Persian as Koresh. In Pasuk Dalet, the ram gores west, north, and south, depicting the conquering of all the lands in those directions by the Persians. Next, we meet a goat emerging from the west, which represents Greece, as Malbim clarifies, is to the west of Persia. This goat has a horn between his eyes, which Malbim says represents the first Greek king, Alexander. The placement of the horn between the eyes represents his wisdom. This goat attacks the ram, as depicted in Pasuk Zayin. And I saw it coming up to the ram, and it fought with it, and it struck the ram and broke both of its horns, and the ram had no strength to stand before it, so it cast it to the ground and trampled it, and there was no one to save the ram from its hand. Uritiv magia etzel ha'ayel, v'it marmar elav, v'yachet ha'ayel, v'shaberet shtei kranav, v'lo hayakoch ba'ayel la'amod lefanav, v'yashlichehu arza, This represents Alexander's savage attack on Dariavish, the last Persian king. Before continuing with the goat, let us pause and discuss the appearance of only two nations in this vision, and why Persia is depicted by a ram and not a bear, as in the previous vision, and why Greece has transformed from a leopard to a goat. Malbim explains that this vision is a completion of the previous. In the dream of the four beasts, the first, Babel, and the last, Rome, are depicted with more detail. We also know that these two nations destroyed the first and second Beit HaMikdash, Batei Mikdash, separate, respectively. The second, Mede and Persian, and the third, Greece, are left vague in terms of what their role in relation to the Jewish people is. This vision also gives more details, although just as amorphous to us, about the end of days. Malbim tells us that since the Jewish people did well under Persian rule, and that Alexander respected Shimon HaTzadik, the Kohen Gadol and head of the Sanhedrin at the time, and did not harm Yerushalayim, they are depicted as ritually pure animals, the ram and the goat. The previous vision, where they appear as a bear and a leopard, is with regard to their ruthless conquering of the other nations, as we saw with the goat's attack on the ram. Pasuk Chet metaphorically describes the death of Alexander and the four kings who arose in his place. And the he-goat waxed exceedingly huge, and when it became strong, the great horn broke, and an appearance of four sprouted in its stead to the four directions of the heavens. Utzvir ha'izim ha'gdil ad ma'od uke'atzmo nishbara ha'keren ha'gdola v'ta'alena chazut arba tachteha le'arba ruchot ha'shamayim. The next scene in the vision is confusing, and many commentaries offer differing opinions as to what it depicts. It describes one small horn emerging from one of the four horns described above. Rashi thinks this horn represents Titus. This is strange, since Rome was a separate kingdom not connected to Greece. Both Ibn Ezra and Malbim attribute this horn to one of the descendants of the original four leaders after Alexander, the evil Antiochus from the Hanukkah story. Psukim Yud through Yud Aleph describe the growth of this horn and the destruction it causes. And it grew until the host of heaven, and it cast down to the ground some of the host and of the stars and trampled them. Vatigdal adzva shmaim, vatapel arza min hatzava umina kochavim, vatirmasem. And until the prince of the host it grew, and through him the daily sacrifice was removed, and the base of a sanctuary was cast down. Vatsar hatzava higdil, umimenu huram hatamid, vihushlach mechon mikdasho. Rashi relates this to the destruction of the temple by Titus, whereas Malbim explains that Antiochus was the first to try to separate the Jewish people, symbolized by the stars, from the Torah. Rashi says the prince of the host is the Beit HaMikdash, which Titus destroyed and abolished the daily sacrifices, whereas Malbim says it is Matityahu and his sons, the Maccabees. He also translates the word Huram, which we read above as removed, as lifted up or exalted, since the Maccabees restored the daily sacrifice, the opposite meaning of our translation. The end of the pasuk then refers to when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed and the sacrifices were again canceled. Daniel then hears the angels asking each other when this will ever end. The answer given is just as enigmatic as in the previous parak. Pasuk Yud Dalet says, "And he said to me, until evening and morning, 2,300, and the Holy Ones shall be exonerated. Vayomer elai ad erev boker alpayim ushlosh meot v'nitzdak kodesh." Once again, there are several interpretations as to how to calculate this time period. All of the predictions have passed. Ibn Ezra offers a novel explanation which looks to his past as opposed to his future. He says that the number 2,300 represents a number of days during which the people suffered the Greek persecution under Antiochus. We knew this was for over 6 years, which comes out to around 2,300 days. Once again, an angel, this time named as Gavriel, comes down to explain the vision to Daniel. Upon hearing the angel's interpretation, Daniel tells us in the last pasuk his emotional response. "And I, Daniel, became broken and ill for days, but I rose and did the king's work, and I was terrified about the vision, but no one realized it. Vani Daniel niyati v'necheleti yamim v'akum v'aseh et melechet hamelech v'ashtomim al hamar'ah v'ein mevin." Malbim explains that the king's work was interpreting the writing on the wall. As a result of this vision, Daniel was the only one who knew exactly what was going to happen in the immediate aftermath, and that Belshazzar's days, actually hours, were numbered. Our next chapter will take us again to Dariavish the Mede, whom we last encountered in Perek Vav, when he was forced to put Daniel into the lion's den. Thank you for studying together Lilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rezel Rachel bat Arya Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel bat Shlomo.